This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
You're listening to the latest edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrana.
I believe that God does want you to know that He can work deliverance, powerful deliverance in our lives, wherever that is necessary. It might be in regards to your own salvation. You might be in darkness, in sin, and you know that you're not right with God, and Jesus Christ would be your deliverer. He would be your, He needs to become your savior, your rescuer of your sin, and of ultimately experiencing the wrath of God toward that sin.
Have you ever had that moment where you realize something's not right between you and God? Not what you show people, but what you know deep down. We get good at covering things up, staying busy, distracting ourselves, trying to be better and do better. But none of that actually fixes the real issue, because sin isn't something you manage. It's something you need to be delivered from. Today, Pastor Bo shares that Jesus didn't come to improve your life. He came to save it, to pull you out of darkness and sin. Now here's Pastor Bo as he begins his message, Taste and See That Yahweh Is Good.
Study Psalm 34. You'll notice right at the top, it says, it's titled, this psalm is, Taste and See That Yahweh, or the Lord, is good. And there's a little subscription under there, that title, and it says it is a psalm of David when he feigned or faked madness before Abimelech. Abimelech was a title, kind of like Pharaoh would have been used, for King Achish. It says, so that He drove him away and he departed. Okay, I'm going to title our message today, Taste and See That Yahweh or the Lord is Good. If I were to give it a subtitle, a little bit, something more informal that we could wrap, sort of hang our thoughts on and start working the psalm into life with, it would be this: what to do when God delivers you from a fearful situation. I understand that right there you might be like, what do I care about that for? Am I in a fearful situation? Do I need God to deliver me from a fearful situation? First off, in just a moment, we're going to turn to 1 Samuel and get the context of the psalm, and then we'll be able to relate to it in all kinds of ways. But first, I just want to say, sort of with a zoomed out view on Psalm 34, that it already applies to all of us who are already in Christ. As far as you have been, I have been delivered by the power of Jesus Christ. I have been rescued by God. He has delivered me from sin and from Satan, and from the ultimate extreme version of that is death. And so if you're in Christ, you and I have already been delivered by God in that sense. And I want to declare just very openly and very unapologetically to the church and to the world today that God is a deliverer, that God delivers people. He specializes in deliverance, helping people be rescued, getting people, enabling people to experience freedom, getting them out of pits, out of chains, out of situations where they got themselves in and they can't get themselves out. God specializes in going in and rescuing people. And it applies, I want you to think about this, to those of us who allow our emotions to take us too far. We allow our emotions to dictate what happens next. And when our emotions lead, it tends to create pretty messy situations. Now, the good news about our God is that even when we are sort of our own enemy, when we get ourselves in tight situations, I want you to know practically today, even for a Christian, when that happens, God can deliver you. So there is truth there that can be applied. There is hope there. So there's that. And then I want to say, third way of applying this psalm I want you to see is how to stay out of those tight spots to begin with, right? Like, I don't want to even end up in those kind of situations where in just a moment you'll see David having to do stuff that you just don't want to have to do on a daily basis in order to get out of these tight spots. So this psalm is very didactic. It starts to get very instructional around verse 11, and it'll give us just very clear teaching on how to stay out of tight situations that can be very life-threatening. They can be very harmful because we're just allowing ourselves to be emotionally led rather than what, Bo? Well, God-dependent. Rather than being God-dependent, just dependent on God, waiting on God, seeking God, trusting God. But instead we allow that, whoo, that emotion to rise, and we operate off of whatever the emotion is at that moment, and it takes us into places that then we can't, it's very difficult for us to get to change ourselves, to change those situations. We need God's deliverance. We need God's help. Okay, it's a little bit of an introduction. Keep your finger in Psalm 34. Turn now with me in your Bible to 1 Samuel 21. Turn to 1 Samuel 21 and look down to verse 10. This is what, Bo? This is the background of Psalm 34. This is the context, okay? This is the setting before David penned Psalm 34. This is what happened in his life. And then he wrote Psalm 34. So we need to get here. We need to get in here and get the context, get our bearing. Once you get your footing on this thing, man, Psalm 34 will get really colorful for you really, really quick, all right? We're going to enjoy a good Bible study. You guys excited about the Word of God? I love the Word of God. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that you do too. All right, watch this in verse 10. 1 Samuel 21, verse 10 says, "Then David arose and he fled that day from Saul." And Saul is a professional killer. Saul is a warrior. Saul is a king, and he is enraged with jealousy over David because, you'll see in just a moment, David has been very victorious as well on behalf of Israel, and Saul is just, he's enraged over that. And so talk about emotions out of control, but he's pursuing David. He's trying to hunt David down. He just wants to crush David and get him out of the picture, off the planet, really. David arose, so he is fleeing for his life. And he fled that day from Saul, and he ended up in this city called Achish. He went to Achish, it's just a little southwest of Jerusalem, to the king of Gath. Excuse me, that's the king. To Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, "Is this not David, the king of the land?" So the servants of King Achish are saying, "Hey, we know this guy. This is David who has been anointed by Samuel, we've heard, king of the land. Did they not sing of this David as they danced, talking about the ladies?" And that's going to make another guy jealous when he hears, "Oh man, all the ladies were singing about this guy. Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, 'Saul has struck his thousands. Yes, Saul has been victorious in our past. Whoa, but David has his 10,000s. He struck 10,000s. So that's what they always said about David. Now watch verse 12. When David heard, so David just made a very emotional decision. Fleeing from Saul, he ran into enemy territory. He ran into the Philistine city of Gath. And running into Gath was foolish. This is not a good strategy. This was not like a really... David is emotionally driven here. He is running from Saul more so than something that he should be running to in order to be strategic or smart in some way. He's running from Saul. And not really thinking, but being just driven by a fear of man rather than a fear of God, he finds himself in Gath. And if you read up a little bit, just before this, he did something. He actually has in his hands the sword of Goliath that he had used prior to this event to kill Goliath, to take off his head. So David actually has this sword. He's dragging that sword into Gath. It's a huge sword. He's dragging that into Gath, and now he finds himself standing in front of the active Philistine ruler at this time. And the servants of the king are saying, "That's David, like the one that everybody sings about, the one that killed Goliath, our guy." And Goliath was from Gath. So it's very like, this is David. Okay, so when David sees that communication going on between the servants and Achish, verse 12 says, David took these words to heart, right? Like he's like, this is not going to go good. And he greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. So he's very worried now, very fearful now about what might happen next. His emotions got him into this situation. Here he is now. And his emotions still have him. He's still gripped now. Thought he was gripped with fear of Saul, but now he's gripped with fear of who? Of Achish, right? Right here in front of him. And so what does he do? I believe in that hair-splitting moment, something happened. And I'm just going to say it to you, give you my best at understanding how this event must have unfolded, is right there, I think God gave David this shrewd idea to go nuts. Like right now, go nuts, you know? And so it says there in verse 13, David disguised his sanity. How do you do that? Right? You cover up that you're cool. You cover up that you're collected and you lose your marbles, right? He just goes bonkers. He disguised his sanity in their sight and he acted insanely in their hands, and he scribbled on the doors of the gate. So he just must have ran to the gate, starts doing just a bunch of weird stuff, graffiti, I don't know, just going nuts. And it says he let his saliva or his spittle, some translations say, run down into his beard. So he's just making himself come across like he's just loco, like, you know what I'm saying? Just cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You know, he's out to lunch, making himself just look crazy. And so verse 14 says, then Achish, I like this, looks to his servants who told him that this is David and all, but then he's watching this guy climb the walls and spit all over himself. He looks to his servants and he says, behold, you see the man behaving as a madman, right? Why do you bring him to me? He says, do I lack madmen? I'm the ruler of the Philistines. I have nothing but meatballs around me. Nothing but just crazy, insane peep guys around me. Do I lack madmen that you have brought this one to act the madman before me? Shall this one come into my house? Look at chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. So David, it what? It worked, right? He departs from there and escapes. So he found that little out right there. It worked because he saw that in Achish. What's with this guy? What are you guys bringing this guy in front of me for? So he sees that I'm not interested thing going on toward David. Boom, he's out of there. The madman thing worked for a second. I'm not going to overplay it. I'm gone. Right? He departs from there and he escapes to the cave of Adullam, and his brothers and all his father's household heard of it and went down there to him. Now, before I read verse 2, I'm being reminded of something I want to say to you here. A good pastor spent many years pouring into me, trying to help me grow in my ability to teach the word of God. And one of the methods, one of the ways he was always trying to help me was always make sure you can help God's people know what God wants them to know, what God wants them to feel, and what God wants them to do. And so right here, I don't want to miss an opportunity to try to be faithful to my instructors that I've had in Christ through the years. And here's one of those moments. I believe that God does want you to know that he can work deliverance, powerful deliverance in our lives, wherever that is necessary. It might be in regards to your own salvation. You might be in darkness, in sin, And you know that you're not right with God, and Jesus Christ would be your deliverer. He would be your, he needs to become your savior, your rescuer of your sin, and of ultimately experiencing the wrath of God toward that sin. So there's that deliverance. That would be something that God wants you to know. Then he would also want God's people to just know that God also, if you have gotten yourself into situations emotionally driven, that he can and wants to provide ways of escape in those situations. And I think what is good for us to sort of in our Bible study this morning to say, how does he want me to feel? I think when you get yourself in a tight spot because of your own, you know, actions or whatever, it's nice to feel that there's freedom. It's nice to feel escape, that I can get out of this situation and be free again. Those would be some of the things I think we need to catch before we move into the rest of Psalm 34. Now, verse 2 of 1 Samuel 22, it says, then everyone, now this is a crazy verse. Everyone who was in distress, please understand that. Everyone who was in distress during this time, the nation was kind of spread out. Everyone who was in debt and everyone who was bitter of soul. I believe the ESV has a good footnote there. It's helpful. It says discontented. So you got three D's right there. Everyone who is in distress, everyone who is in debt, and everyone who is discontent gathered to David in this cave, maybe in the cave or maybe shortly after he was in the cave, but right around this cave time, these people who are described as those three experiences in their life, that's where they're at, they gather to David and he became a commander over them. Now, I think there's an association there that revolves around desperation. I don't have a lot of time to unpack that, but I think they're very desperate because they have been afflicted and they're in distress and their lives are hard and they are desperately, I believe, crying out and wanting a deliverer, wanting a change, wanting their life to be different than what it is. And David just got out of that kind of a situation where he was desperate and he was able to get out of that situation. So I do think there's some harmonizing going on there between those both being desperate. And so these guys are sort of drawn to David. And David, we know, just an extremely charismatic, gifted, just, I mean, almost a larger than life kind of guy. I mean, you go to Israel today, they're still hailing him as their greatest king, King David, still to this day. But it says that these guys came to him. He became a commander over them. Now there were about 400 men with him. Okay, everybody get the background? That's the background for Psalm 34. Okay, now turn back to Psalm 34 and let's begin looking at verse 1. David says, here's the first thing you can write down on what to do when God delivers you from a fearful situation. Number one, you want to praise the Lord. You want to praise Yahweh. You want to give him praise. Praise, praise, praise. No matter what situation you're in today, you might be doing well and you might be in distress. You might be facing physical challenges, diseases, hardships, all kinds of things. Or you might be like, my life's fine right now. Whatever it might be, understand first, for all of us, David's sort of bursting out and starting this psalm is this invitation to everyone to say, I will bless the Lord. I will bless Yahweh at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. In Gath or not in Gath. In a cave, not in a cave. Doesn't matter. David's saying, one thing that I do know for sure is that at every season of my life, in every day, in every time frame of life, I will bless the Lord. And I want to encourage you to do that. This used to be very alive and well, I feel like, amongst a lot of God's people. We used to bless the Lord, praise the Lord. We used to say it even a little bit more often. I want to encourage you to leave your Christianity in the four walls of a church building somewhere. But be like this at all times. I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord at all times. And now you'll see why in just a minute. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. And then he says in verse 2, my soul will make its boast in Yahweh. He will boast in the Lord. And then notice the second part of that verse. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Try to picture, if you would, David and about these 400 guys gathered around. It's okay to think that that's the setting, even though this psalm is an acrostic. So you see, it's got every letter of the Hebrew alphabet before every verse of the psalm. It was the way they did poetic kind of literature at that time. So that tells us he must have been sitting somewhere after the whole Gath thing and wrote this thing out, you know, with a little bit of some thinking involved, and then wrote it out. So it's okay to think he's in the cave with the 400. It's also okay to think that it's a little after the event and he's writing it. Either way, what happens here, David is saying, is as a result of my soul making its boast in Yahweh, when the humble are around me, those that are in distress around me, those who are afflicted around me, those who are helpless around me will hear my boasting in the Lord, and they also will rejoice. It's a big deal, guys. It's a big deal. Let's catch kind of the spirit of David here. Like how he's got such a heart of worship toward God in every season. Doesn't matter what it is. He's even going as far as to say that what happened to me now, I still place my boast in the Lord. And as a result of me doing this in front of you, it's going to enable you also to rejoice. Because I know your guys' situation. He's saying you guys are in debt. You guys are in distress. You guys are discontent. Your souls, your hearts are bitter. That's what these guys were like. Upset about life. Things weren't going the way they wanted. So they found in David a commander, someone they wanted to follow and try to do something about, you know, their situation. And what does David do? Does he say, yeah, I am the guy. Come on. I mean, who would want to be followed by these 400 guys? I mean, just think about it. I mean, these are 400, like, you guys are a rough crowd. You know, these 400. And what does he do, though? No, he knows. I've got to set my attention. I got to point things to the Lord. And as I do that, their spirits will get lifted as well. They will start to look to the Lord as well. And that is what ultimately needs to happen. It will be the best, you know, that's the situation you want. Now, verse 3 is the beginning of the second point I want to give you. And it's this, number 2, invite those who are afflicted and those who are helpless to exalt the Lord with you, to exalt Yahweh with you. Now, this is bold, and I understand that, but I want to challenge you with it. To actually not only personally praise the Lord at all times, but to invite those who are around you, who are hurting, who are afflicted, who feel helpless, to put their attention on the Lord as well. Invite them to exalt Yahweh with you. It's very challenging for me as a pastor at times, but I will do this, and it sometimes goes over well, and it's sometimes a little bit hard. I will challenge some of you guys. I might have said this to some of you even already, but I'll say it where I try to put myself with you in it, and I'll say something like, well, we choose to give God thanks and praise for that, don't we? And that's me trying to do that, trying to invite you to worship the Lord that I know you know and love, but at this point, you might be in distress.
We're glad you joined us for today's edition of Truth That Transforms with Pastor Bo DeFrena. This broadcast comes to you from Melbourne, Florida, but we'd love to connect with you wherever you are. These messages can be found on our website or via podcast. Our website is trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. You can also get a hold of us through social media, Facebook or Instagram. There's much encouraging content for you to find through those avenues. If you go to our website, you'll find those icons at the bottom of the page. That's trinitychurchmlb.churchcenter.com. Much valuable information is there for you, including our phone number and email. But we'll give you that here as well. Our number is 321-676-8992. If you need to hear it again, that's 321-676-8992. Our email address is info@mytrinitychurch.life. We desire for each of our listeners to be walking in a way that expresses their devotion to God and that others would see that lived out. We're praying this ministry would be just one piece of that process as you go about your day. We're looking forward to connecting with you in the next edition with Pastor Bo. Until then, keep the things you've heard today close to your heart and mind. and recall them through the day and week. We hope today is a day that your witness will bless those around you. Thanks for listening, and come back for more. This has been Truth That Transforms.
Thank you.